Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to a special report from the World Boxing Review Radio Show as we bring you around the world boxing news, interviews, legend tales, and past and present and future stars in boxing history. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Trainer of Champions. And we have the radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Happy Sunday morning. And, yes, you have a nice special show today, too. So it's always good to come back with some more news, and we'll get to that in just a second. But you know what? Man, I'm going to get in trouble if I don't mention, you know, what I forgot yesterday. I got caught up there talking about Muffet McGraw, who was born in Pottsville. She's the women's coach for the Lady Irish NCAA Women's Basketball Champions. But, you know, Villanova also won, and I got a couple of Villanova people yesterday giving me some stares. Like, what? So we have to fast it along through that. Villanova, congratulations. They're really becoming the team of the era, man. Two crowns in 3 years and all that. And it looks like they're just going to reload, too. So, man, once again, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that.
Yeah, and also, man, the Sixers are doing well. The other night they beat LeBron James, you know, LeBron was on the line. Two out of the three, he missed two. And he made two and missed the third one and followed up and missed a slam dunk, and the Sixers beat him. So the Sixers are doing well, Bob. So, you know.
Yeah, they're doing well. Yeah, they're playing for home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, too. So, you know, and be back and they'll be all good. Yeah, they're looking good. And,
yeah. Hey, look, in all this that's going on, you know, around the world in boxing, well, Pennsylvania's looking good, too. Pennsylvania's
yes,
looking good down there. But, Bob, with further ado, well, what's going on around the world? Do you have some results or something from
news
or anything like that?
Yeah, big night last night in Vegas. We were talking about that, the super welterweight world title fight. And it was the Cuban fighter, Erislandy Lara. He went in defending his – he had also the IBO world and also the WBA super world junior middleweight titles. And he went up against the unbeaten IBF world champ, Jared Hurd. And Hurd beat him. It was a 2-1 decision, 114-113. And actually, Hurd put him down in the 12th round, which kind of – put him over the edge there and gave Hurd the win. Or else they said it might have even been a draw if it wasn't for that knockdown. And also in that same card, great rematch we talked about yesterday too, coming up for the IBF World Super Middleweight title. And last night, James DeGale revenged his only loss there to Caleb Truax and took his title back. So that was a big win too. It was a unanimous decision on his part. And also we wanted to just point out another fight we talked about down in Ixtapa, Mexico. Our good friend, Johnny Gonzalez, man, he got his 66th win. He's 66-10. He defended his WBC Latino super featherweight title against the challenger, Marlon Cabrera. Cabrera went in 24-1, but he was pretty outmatched. It was quite uneven on the score sheets, 120-108 across the board. But Gonzalez proved that he's ready to come back for another title. He is a former title holder, and now he's looking, since he defended the WBC Latino super featherweight title, he's looking for a shot at the crown, and that'll be Miguel Burchelt. And they're looking to see if they can get something going there to get that WBC title at the 130-pound thing there. So Johnny Gonzalez still looking good, too. So those are the big headlines from last night. Two big upsets out there. Well, I don't know if that DeGale was much of an upset, that goes back to what you say sometimes, Aaron, about when you get those rematches, you know, we're the attitude. I agree with you about the winner. You won the first time. You should win the second. But we're starting to see some of these guys coming back and getting that win and, you know, evening it up. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that a trend going on here? Yeah.
Yeah. When guys go into the gym, if they're hungry enough and they keep working, they look at the mistakes that they were making and they adjust and make the adjustments that they need. Hey, man, you can win again. You know, it's you have to fight a fight round by round and fight by fight. You know what I mean? And
right.
you don't look at the bigger picture things, how you win fights or fighting the fight round by round and making the adjustments that you need along the way by each round. And if you do that, you will come out a winner because, you know, if you can't land a knockout blow, at least you'll be winning rounds. And that's the key. The fight last night was close. It was a close fight, as you can see on the scorecard. So those things happen. But a great night on Showtime Boxing for the sport of boxing. And we appreciate that as a fan, and it gives us plenty to talk about, Bob.
Yes, it does. Yeah, yes, it does indeed. So, yeah, you were mentioning that this is part of that. Lara is one of the last of the Cubans that came over who was still making some noise, but taking a step back himself now too with this Jared Hurd. He's looking pretty good too. This Hurd could he could be around for a while too.
Yeah, well, the Cuban fighters that came over, it looks like they're going down pretty fast here. I think that was the last one or something of that Cuban bunch. But we'll see what happens. We'll see how they make an adjustment. They get in the right fight. They could be back on top today. That's what makes boxing so interesting. You know, today zero, tomorrow zero. Take you from the street to the penthouse suites. You know what I'm saying? You're always the thrill of victory from one punch and total disaster from another punch. And that's what makes boxing so exciting when it's done right, Bob.
Yes, it is. That's what we were seeing last night, like you said, even for DeGale to come back and basically, take his crown back. That must hurt when you lose that and you know what you had. And like you said, they get that drive back in the gym and work it out.
Yeah, and also, Bob, last night Floyd Mayweather was talking about taking a fighter over to the top rank. You know, some fighters that Gotti has. I think Davis, Floyd was talking about going to Bob Arum to fight one of his guys. You know, Bob Arum has all them ESPN dates. So that's a good move if you want, you know, sometimes you don't, your fighter's not well known. You want to start getting them exposure. So Bob Arum has that ESPN, you know, you got the numbers, viewing audience over there with shows, and it makes it real interesting that you have promoters now looking to work together or, you know, team up together for at least one fight. So that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. That's nice. Yeah, it does. It keeps things moving too, rather than, looking outside a little bit more and saying, get this guy, whatever it takes, you know, because people want to see these fights as you get these names built up, you know. And we were talking yesterday in our show, too, about how we were all excited looking for a lot of these fights that were coming up. We had Horn and Crawford. That's been put off now. Of course, the Triple G Canelo fight. And, you know, we're just looking, waiting for fights to start happening here. So the more the merrier, you know. Let's build up some of these new guys, too.
With Triple G situation, I think they're waiting for the commission meeting on the 14th of this month, or 14th or 18th, something like that.
The 18th, actually, yeah.
To let that come and see what they rule. Are they going to suspend them? If they are, for how long? If they're going to let them fight? You know, this is really something. You know, to have. I didn't see why the Nevada Athletic Commission, since this happened, waited so long in order to their board meeting to rule, and they didn't call for an immediate hearing, is because if I was Canelo Alvarez and them, I would have asked for immediate hearing, because everybody has the right to fast and due process of the law, a speedy process. And if you got to wait, you know, that time like that till they have them, it's not fair to the promoters like De La Hoya and them, who are putting up large amounts of money in the hotels and things like that, have promotional stuff that they're laying in. There's a lot of money during that time. And I'm pretty sure Nevada, with all of those hotels and tourism, is that they're not into hurting tourism. So sometimes you have to shake them up a little bit, wake them up, and let them understand the bigger picture, you know, because the fighters that are in line waiting for this decision, guys who may be fighting Triple G, do you put them on? What if the hearing goes, they say, okay, you can fight. Where does that put everybody? Canelo Alvarez says, well, cancel the fight. You know, it just puts everybody in limbo. When it comes back, if they make whatever decision they make, just say if they say you can fight.
Right, and they got a couple of people hanging on. Triple G's got a couple of, you know, potential opponents that are waiting to see, you know, are we going to fill that date, too? Because, you know, like you're saying, the date is already signed, and it won't be Triple G versus Canelo, probably, which we all want to see. But Triple G's trying to make the date himself and find somebody. So he got all these other people who are out there, you know, wondering if they're going to fight, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of that triple down of, yeah, the ripple effect.
Yeah, and the thing about pay-per-view, Bob, you look at pay-per-view and you say, hey, look, you got this pay-per-view time and promotions to lead into pay-per-view. If they're going to take it like that, or are they going to let them fight on regular television for HBO? Or, you know, what's the deal? you know what
I mean? You've got to sell those pay-per-views. Nobody's buying the pay-per-view. I think they're refunds, actually, you know, the people that were buying tickets, you know, to go see the event even, too, you know, if you want to bail out and get your refund. You know, so there's a lot going on with this. Because, I do think that they waited a long time to make this.
You're holding a pay-per-view date, too. You know what I mean? When you lock that date in, you know, everybody's in big limbo, Bob. You know,
yes.
Come on, baby, get it done, get it over. Like, get the man some faith, give him some air, man. We want to see what's going on. At least if they do suspend him for 6 months or a year, he can make plans or whatever. His team can make plans, and everybody else that's surrounded in that fair by the promoters, the boxing organizations, everybody can move on and get it done. But I think they should have had a special hearing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is just has everybody. And at the 18th, it's like 2 weeks, too, you know, like we're saying. I mean, this fight was scheduled for the 5th, and here we are looking at, 17 days.
I think that's what they should have did. But, hey, what do we know, Bob? What have we done? Hey, look. But to look at our guests that we had on, Mustafa and Shadid, they had a very, very interesting conversation surrounding the heavyweight division and also about Anthony Joshua, you know, Tyson Fury. You know, why all of those guys that are up there biting at the bit to be Anthony Joshua's next opponent, including Wilder. They gave many, you know, insights and outsides to training, pay-per-view money and all of that. Interviews that was in that whole realm of things. You know, Bob, we're going to have to get them guys back on the show.
Oh, that was really good. The analyzing was, I mentioned even during the show, I was amazed because you guys are really, you know, getting nice and technical about it, and it was great, just to hear such a nice professional, you know, analysis of the fight, blow by blow, practically, you know, just seeing what Parker did wrong, what Parker did right, you know. Everybody, we're all pretty much in agreement that Parker's got a nice future ahead of him, too. I mean, that was a nice little, curly to whatever else he might have down the road. But, yeah, he was in there and he made it work, and, you know, he lost. But, he's, like we said, he was on his feet the whole time. He didn't get KO'd. He made it to the fight.
And what I like about Parker is that he was, people forget that he was a champion too. He followed the rules to fight for the title and win the title. And when he sees the opportunity that he said, hey, look, I think I can beat you. You're champion, I'm champion. Let's see who's the real champ here. And
right.
he put it on the line. That's what I like about Parker. That's what fighters on a higher level do, man. They sit down, they want to fight a guy. They don't care who you're knocking out, how many guys you done knocked out. You know, just think, Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, Ron Law, all them guys were knockout artists, baby. And to see Joe Frazier and George Foreman fight and see George Foreman annihilate Joe Frazier, to see Joe Frazier put Muhammad Ali in the hardest fights of his life, you know, the battle of endurance, you know, skill level, you know, one was going to quit one time on the stool, and Eddie Futch stopped the fight before Ali said that he was going to quit. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what makes great drama. And when you talk about these great fights like this, it's not, you know, people put it in their mind, oh, man, a guy goes in there and gets beat, he gets whooped. You know, it's like it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Hey, look, when George Foreman, who was just walking through everybody, knocking him out, right, him and Ron Law fought. He was knocked down. He gets up, knocked Ron Law down. Ron Law gets up, knock him down. It was a swing back and forth of knockdown, get up, drag out kind of thing. But George Foreman ends up winning by a knockout. But, however, everybody thought when George Foreman was fighting Muhammad Ali is that he was going to annihilate Ali like that because of the tough fights that Ali had been in with the rest of those guys. You know, and it shows you Ali put it on the line, bro. That fight and those punches will be all remembered always. That sent shockwaves around the world, like Ali said when he fought Sonny Liston, is that he shook up the world. You know, in that era, all of them guys are great in their own right. All of them guys been champion. And just imagine this. After that fight, I think George Foreman maybe had one or a couple fights after that. But he waited 10 years. 10 years to come back to get in there and to fight Michael Moore as an older heavyweight. And then, bro, Bob, you know, being whooped on, beat on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
finally land that one big bomb straight down in the middle that lays Michael Moore out in the center of the ring. It don't get no better than that, does it? you know, that's what makes boxing so interesting. It's full of drama, this, the swing of back and forth, man. The one punch away from being knocked out, and then one punch away from glory. When you have those things in a bout, it just keeps boxing going and going and going. And this is what I'm saying at this time in the heavyweight division with these guys like Wilder, who undefeated, all knockouts, man. You know, Anthony Joshua just finally answered some questions. If he could go the distance, did he have the fortitude and in a world title fight, could he go the distance, you know, and win? So he answered that question, Anthony Joshua. And in the last fight with Wilder, you had Wilder answer some questions. You know, he started slow. It looked like Ortiz was taking him down the way to knock him out. Wilder took some big punches on the button, on the chin, and a lot of people didn't think. They didn't think Wilder could take a good shot. And he took the shot, overcame it, and came back and knocked Ortiz out. So, you know, what great, great drama that the heavyweight division brings, Bob. It's something that we look forward to, these fights that coming along. And let me tell you, this young Ron Hearns, who's the promoter of Anthony Joshua at Matchbox, he's clever, very clever, well-studied businessman who basically grew up in the sport of boxing. You know, his father, remember Cali's pool hall in Pottsville?
Yeah.
Well, Barry Hearns, who's Ron's father, he had a billiard places, snooker tables. So
yeah,
if you know any, them big long, remember the big long table Tally's used to have in the front of Tally's that everybody played, all the sharks played on, gambling for money. And
it was the old code that if the light was on, the game was on, you know?
Yeah.
They turned the cigarette light on, the game was on. Come on in. For real.
and we had an opportunity, myself, Carl King and us, when we were over there with the fight, Tim Witherspoon and all of us, we went and played in the billiard yard, or we played snooker in the place with them. You know, we were over there, so it's very interesting. Snooker is, and you have to be with that stick and that ball.
You got hustled.
I have to show that Paso do have a little tally in him. You know, Tally's Vineyard in downtown Pottsville.
You know what? We'll bring another name up for people. Joe Balsas from Irisville, the world champion billiards player for years when we were growing up. Joe Balsas, man, he got everybody interested in all kind of billiards and pool when we were kids.
You know, we used to hang out in Tally's, shoot pool. You know what I mean? And it was a lot of fun, Bob. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Minnesota Fats and all of them guys had came in the Tally's too to play.
Yeah.
Big matches in Tally's, you know, in there. But it was a great interview with them guys yesterday and talk about the heavyweight division, Anthony Joshua, him beating Klitschko. But, Bob, without further ado, you know, we'd like to welcome our fine guests to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. I'm Aaron Snow. This is Bob Murray, the radio aficionado, and the former heavyweight champion of the world, Ramon Brewster. What's going on, champ?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Welcome to the show, man. We got Bob Murray, the radio aficionado, on here, too.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
What's going on, Bob?
How you doing, champ? All right.
Oh, man.
We're doing good. Thanks for coming on. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, look, we want to welcome you to the show, man, and we wanted to thank you for coming on, number one. And number two, what does it feel like to be heavyweight champion of the world, man?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, man. Sometimes, you know, it's like, I don't know, and I'm going to tell you why, because from my perspective, I never wanted to be a world champion so that I could get the approval or praise of people. I don't know, man, it was something about the sport that it just drew me to it. It was something about the smell of the gym and the look of in the eyes of guys who fought and won titles, man. And I don't know, I always wanted to be that guy, man. So when you ask me that question, it's kind of a trick question because I love what boxing has done for my life. I love what I've seen it do to other people's lives. And I just think for me, life, boxing, and chess are the exact same thing. The only difference is in life you don't get to have do-overs. Boxing and chess, you can always come back better. So I don't know, man. You know, it's like as I'm speaking with you and we're talking about what does it feel like to be a world champion, man, it's basically something that I could not ever put to words, man. I mean, I would insult the definition if I could find the words to really explain to you guys what it feels like to be a world champion.
Hey, oh man, let me tell you, you were a great amateur fighter and a great professional fighter. You beat a young Vladimir Klitschko when he was young. When they talk about Anthony Joshua and his win, you had beat him before that, right? Correct?
Yeah, I beat him at his best, absolutely, when he had Emmanuel Stewart.
Yeah, when we had your trainer on the show, he was talking about it and the joy that was built around all of that. And you just didn't beat him. You really knocked him out.
Yes, man, because what I did was I studied boxing. You know, I'm a student of the game. I was one of those guys that I aspired to be a world champion from the time I was a child. You know, so when it came to winning a fight for a world heavyweight title, I did my due diligence, and I studied tapes. Just like any attorney that wants a bar exam, you have to study. No matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, you have to study. So I studied for my test, man. I did everything that I could do to try to get ready for this fight. I prepared, so when I stepped into the ring, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I could beat this guy because styles make fights, and I know that I had did everything I was supposed to do to get ready for that fight. I knew that I couldn't beat him because of his height if I tried to box him, no matter how good of a boxer I am, because if you got two superior boxers and one just happens to be 6'7", then, you know, you're at an extreme disadvantage being a fighter, a shorter boxer, rather. So I knew that I had to adopt my style by taking a fight to him because pressure busts pipes. When you got a guy that's that tall, that means he would have to work harder for the pressure that I would be putting on him over 12 rounds. I noticed the fight that he had with Ray Mercer. He was a little winded, even though he successfully defeated Ray Mercer by stopping him in, I think, the sixth round. But he was breathing so hard that I said, well, I'm younger than Ray. If I can get up under his punches and keep pressure on him, which is something that I never really did, I said, well, I may have a better chance than standing out there and boxing him. So I studied tapes on Joe Frazier, studied tapes on Roberto Duran, Julio Cesar Chavez, and I didn't do anything but put myself in the mindset of Bruce Lee. He said, you know, a fight is like a play, but it's played series. So every day I rehearsed my play. Every day I rehearsed my play. Every day I rehearsed my play so that when I got there, you know, they say repetition makes habit. So I did it until I couldn't do it wrong. I did it to the point where I had already went over the negative things that could happen, like the punch that he caught me with that hurt me. I already knew to take a knee and not let him hit me with another punch because at the point when he hit me and he stepped back and he saw that he had wobbled me, he tried to step back in and finish me. He might have been able to, but I was already mentally prepared. I had never been on the canvas before. I knew that in a case like that, take a knee, make sure I'm up before the count of eight, look over my corner, let them know I'm okay, and then go right to him to let him know you want to fight. Because I told him, I said, the only way you're going to beat me is to kill me. So I don't know if he took that for granted or not. But at the end of the day, when you got two fighters and both of these fighters is given 100%, it always comes down to who wanted the most, not who got the best trainer, not who's got the bigger muscles, not who's the bigger puncher, but who wanted it the most. And when I got him in that position where it was like, look, it don't matter about your victories before. What matters is right now. And I'm telling you, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to get carried out of this ring. And so then we got to a point where it was no longer about strength, about muscles. It just came down to heart. And when it came down to heart, he decided that he wanted to tap out.
And now, hey, look, man, time goes so fast, bro. we're at the end of the 15 seconds. We only got 10 seconds, Layman. But, look, you're doing some things, and we'll let you close because the time went so fast, Layman. What are you doing now?
Right now, I'm working with four world heavyweight champions, but five of us all together is Ray Mercer, Chris Bird, Riddick Bowe, James Toney, and myself. We're working on a reality show, and that's going to be coming out pretty soon. We got a couple other projects that we're working on the world is going to be hearing about, and I look forward to coming back to the show, man.
Yeah, we're going to have you back on. Thank you. Very good, man. Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hey, Bob, time goes so fast, man. That time went like that. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fast. thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Trainer of Champions and the radio aficionado, Bob Murray. And thank you, Layman. We're going to be bringing you back to the World Boxing Review Radio Show with this special report.
Thank you.